Welcome back. It's been about 3 years, actually, since we first learned about the plans to create the Adams Presidential Center here in Quincy. It is here, and it has a new president joining back in October in the form of Dr. Kirk Graham, who's joining us for the first time here at QATV, but hopefully not the last time. Doctor, great to meet you.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to learn a little bit about you and your background, sure. And then about the Adams Presidential Center. As I mentioned, it was first unveiled, I think it was July of 2022, over at the Adams Academy, and has since taken shape, not physically, but certainly in spirit, right?
Yes, absolutely. We don't have a physical building yet to host programs and exhibits and things in, but we are working toward that, of course, and we're leading with programs. As you mentioned, our program tomorrow night is one in a series that I think is really going to be of great value to the community, but we will do those kinds of things as we're preparing to build a facility here in Quincy.
Sure. Can you first tell us just a little bit about yourself, your background, if you can?
Yeah. Well, thank you. Well, it's great. You know, we, my wife and I, we lived in New England many years ago, went to grad school down in Rhode Island at Brown, and had a great experience there. And so this chance, when this job came along, this chance to come back to New England was for us a real plus. I mean, it's an area of the country we've always really enjoyed. Other than our years in grad school, we didn't get a chance to live here, so it's great to kind of come full circle back to where we started. I've been in the, in academia, but in the museum library business for, I don't know.
A few years.
I'd have to stop and do some math, and wouldn't want to fudge it one way or the other. But right. Plenty of years in teaching, but also in research libraries and of course museums. Most recently, I was at the Truman Presidential Library and Museum in Independence, Missouri. And during that time, the last couple of years, I also ran the Bush Presidential Library down in Dallas, Texas. So mm-hmm. I feel like I've had a pretty fair experience with presidential centers, presidential libraries, and this to me it's a 2-for-1 deal with John and John Quincy. As you know, they're incredible legacies, and I think that to sort of see that in the context of the others and of the presidency and of our republic, it's a great time to be in this business.
The announcements back in 2022 mentions using an area along Adams Street as a potential place for a home for the new center. Mm-hmm. That has since kind of changed and morphed. So can you tell us about the current plan for building an actual center?
For sure. No, we definitely want to build in what I would sort of consider the historic district or corridor. I don't know if there are other names that you have locally here for it, but we don't have an exact site location hammered down at this point, nailed down. We're certainly working on that, you know, with our board, with the city, with other stakeholders. So we look forward to when that time comes, an announcement, sort of a ceremonial ribbon cutting or something of that nature to cover. But we definitely, it's very important to be here where the Adams were and where they are, where they're buried in the church. Somewhere in that proximity. I mean, Peace Field is close by. The Church of the Presidents is close by. I mean, it's important to be somewhere in the neighborhood.
So will the center be kind of its own separate entity and its own nonprofit?
Or absolutely.
It will be?
Well, yeah, the Adams Presidential Center is a 501c3 today. It is its own entity. It has a board. It has its own funding.
General Dunford's the chair, right?
General Joe Dunford is the chair, absolutely, and other very many prominent members of this community and of Massachusetts beyond are on the board currently. It's a great group. They're very dedicated to this. As you know, the mayor's been very supportive. They're all very impressive people who have sort of come around to this idea that it's time to do something for the Adams, and so we're here to make good on that promise.
Sure. Where does the process stand right now, Doctor, in terms of doing that?
Well, you know, as I said, we're leading with programs to start with now. So we've educational and public programs like the one we'll talk about tomorrow night. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, the center will have exhibits and classroom space and an auditorium and place, a community center, place for people to come, particularly school groups to come. To learn of that time period, to learn of the revolution.
Right.
The premise of the Adams Center is not just to honor the Adams family, but to think about greater Boston and our opportunity to sort of own the revolution.
Yeah.
I mean, in some ways, Boston has ceded that territory to Philadelphia and other communities. And of course, there's important things that happen in all these places.
Sure.
But when you think of the American Revolution, you should think primarily of Boston. And you know, you have what happened along the Freedom Trail, you have Concord and Lexington, but really the intellectual center of the entire movement was here in Quincy. John Quincy Adams, and John Adams, I should say, is really the architect of so much of what comes to be the American Republic, and the ideology, the thought process that went into that. So our thought is the story starts here.
I see.
And you can't really understand the American Revolution, and certainly the Massachusetts role in the American Revolution, without understanding the Adams family and their great contribution that emanated right here, stemmed from here in Quincy.
Well, next year, 2026, will be the 250th
Absolutely.
Anniversary of
race. Yeah. And we want to take full advantage of that and let the world know that, you know, but for John Adams, we would not have had George Washington as Commander-in-Chief.
Hmm.
But for John Adams, we would not have had Thomas Jefferson stylizing the Declaration of Independence. I mean, all the thinking, all the behind-the-scenes work that he did in the Continental Congress and in other settings to make those things happen, the country would not have launched in the way that it did without John Adams. And that's something that probably most Americans don't know.
Yeah.
The Virginia dynasty has gotten an outsized share of credit for a lot that's happened. And again, there's nothing about what we're doing at Adams that is going to denigrate, you know, Jefferson or Washington or Madison. I mean, they were incredibly important, significant figures, and we honor them in that as well. But John Adams has been left out of that pantheon of American luminaries in some very important ways. And he, like I said, but for him, it would not have happened. And in this day and age, you know, the era of Me Too and Black Lives Matter, I mean, he's the only founding legacy that is not tainted by slavery.
Mm.
And so we have an important story to tell, and he and Abigail were on the forefront of some really important rights, human rights thinking that I think has defined America to this day. And certainly with John Quincy, it carries forward. I would argue he's our first civil rights president. So. We have a lot to talk about with the Adams.
I know the mayor often bemoans the fact that there is no Adams recognition in Washington, D.C.
No, there isn't. Despite efforts of some fairly significant people to try and make that happen.
Yes.
Yeah, it's easier said than done.
So why do you think that is, Doctor? Why do you think they've kind of been overlooked?
Well, I think that, first of all, I think once the Adams Center is up and going, in full fashion, I think it will be much easier to draw the kind of attention that will help an effort like the one you talk about in Washington move forward.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I think there's an order to things, and I think that starting here and then going to Washington as opposed to the reverse is probably the better way to go. I don't know, you know, it's an interesting question as to why Jefferson and Washington and the others are remembered more. First of all, I think there's a little, they're a group in Virginia, right? I mean, you know, four of the first five presidents are from Virginia, so that there's a certain kind of weight that carries. But, you know, it's interesting, Jefferson played it pretty well. He acted like he didn't care about his legacy and then did all kinds of things to make sure that it happened, that he was remembered in certain ways.
Uh-huh.
Adams cared a lot about his legacy, but never really put the things in place to make sure that it happened that way. I mean, I think he was kind of, you know, frustrated and even downright curmudgeonly about it, you know, by the end of his life.
Yeah.
But I think he thought that history would just sort of take care of itself.
I see.
And I hope that that's what our effort will prove. I mean, I think that there's nothing about Adams that we should be running from, we should be running towards.
I wonder, too, if it was, if some New England frugality came into play.
Yeah. No, I think there is a kind of, you know, And a lot of us were, I mean, I was raised in the West, and it's different, but I mean, it's similar in the sense, you just don't talk about yourself.
Right,
you know, you don't bring attention to yourself, you don't need to do that. I think, you know, Washington, as one well-known biographer said, you know, he's a man who spent his life acquiring power by giving it away.
Hmm.
I mean, he was well aware of the stage that he was playing on, and I think Jefferson and Madison similarly had that. I think Adams was aware of the historical stage as well. I just don't think he played it as well. And he wasn't, you know, he wasn't in the same league in the sense, you know, financially and otherwise. Those men owned plantations.
Yes.
Adams was a farmer.
Yeah.
It's different. And so, you know, farmers and planters are not the same kind of people. And so there's a level of fine, even though Jefferson died broke. I mean, you know, I mean, but he died with, you know, Monticello and all these assets and things that had to be liquidated to to pay for things. But Adams did well. I mean, he steadily improved, a farmer's son, and he left life better than he entered it. But he wasn't necessarily at that level as a economic powerhouse.
Yeah. At the first Adams speaker series that the center hosted mm-hmm. last fall, mm-hmm. you made a pretty bold statement. You said mm-hmm. you want the Adams Presidential Center to be on par with the likes of Mount Vernon and Monticello.
Yes, yeah. And I think there's no reason for us not to aspire to that. That is, I don't know that Peacefield is ever going to have the same kind of visitation. I mean, Mount Vernon is right outside Washington.
Right.
It's sort of part of the tour when you go to see the monuments
yeah.
and things. So it's not so much about that kind of visitation, but it is about the quality of the product we put out, the seriousness of this legacy, the ability to remember Adams in a way that understands that he's foundational, he's crucial. There's no America without him. And the way his son carries so much of that thinking forward, they were different. I mean, they were diplomats. They were piercingly intellectual. And I think that in some ways was almost part of their problem. I think they were hard to relate to.
I see.
In sort of like your favorite college professor, you know, was brilliant, but maybe not the kind of guy that you could really kind of
socially awkward,
get to know deeply, you know. And I think that in some ways, I think that's where the Adams were. They were just intensely intellectual,
yeah.
John Quincy in particular.
Yeah.
And I think that it makes them a little less relatable to the modern era.
I see. So a timeline? Do we have a timeline, Doctor, for the actual?
Well, it's you know, obviously we're going to be launching a capital campaign here
okay.
in the coming year, and obviously we want to make some significant announcements in 2026 around the 250th anniversary. Of course, this year we have a lot of significant things going on because of Quincy 400.
Certainly, yeah.
And so a lot of our programs that we want to do are really designed to reinforce the importance of this community and what's going on there. So between Quincy 400 this year and America 250 next year, I think we've got some opportunities to move forward.
Okay. It's all about fundraising right now.
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah. I can't give you a date when there's going to be
okay.
a building under construction or
okay.
a date when we're going to dedicate a building, but, you know, we will probably be able to answer that question in the next, you know, 12 to 18 months.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
In the meantime, you are hosting events and programs,
big time, yeah.
including tomorrow night.
Yes.
At Quincy High School, the Adams Speaker Series, Abigail Adams and Louisa Catherine Adams, the impact of U.S. First Ladies on American presidential and global history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell me all about it.
Well, we're really excited about this program. We have a star-studded panel. We have three scholars who have written a book on Remember the First Ladies. Mm. And they will be able to talk about Abigail and Louisa Catherine, but also talk about other first ladies and bring it into the modern era to talk about the evolution of this role. You know, it is not in the Constitution, right? It's not an official role necessarily. It's a ceremonial role, but it is hugely important and has been from the beginning. To the point that, you know, Louisa Catherine knew how to campaign. She knew what had to be done. There would be no President John Quincy Adams had there been no Louisa Catherine.
Wow, there's a statement, really.
Yeah, no. She totally understood it.
Okay.
She totally understood who to invite to the events, what events
yes.
to host,
yes.
how to do it. John Quincy was in his own little world and, you know, deep in thought or whatever, and,
right.
and just wasn't as relatable a person as she was. She absolutely made him in terms of his achieving the presidency anyway.
Yes. Yeah.
And Abigail is probably the first lady that is generally remembered by Americans today. I mean, we know a lot more about, we talk a lot more about Abigail Adams than we do, you know, Martha Washington or even Dolly Madison.
True.
Certainly Elizabeth yeah. Monroe or any of the others. And we really only know Mary Todd Lincoln because of her grief and the hardship of her life. I mean, you really have to get up into, you know,
Eleanor Roosevelt
yeah. you know, Jackie
yeah.
Kennedy,
right. yeah.
You know, people like Hillary Clinton, Michelle Obama,
more,
Nancy Reagan, I mean,
the yeah.
Bush,
yeah.
both Bushes. I mean, these are people who are, you know, they take on a project, they do their own work in the East Wing
yes.
while their husbands are working in the West Wing.
Right.
And that's a fairly new, you know, I mean, there's a, I think that Abigail had her own thoughts about things, and certainly she was very much concerned about women.
She prolifically wrote about
them. Yeah, absolutely. The way women were treated, the way women were seen in society and things, and sort of launched, really, I mean, I think it's fair to call her America's first feminist.
You know, remember the ladies,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But it wasn't just that one statement. I mean, there were many, many times when she felt, and just the way she conducted herself in business. I mean, she bought and sold bonds and property at a time when women didn't even technically get to own property without their husbands. They were, you know, coverture. I mean, they were not legally allowed to do those things. Well, and so she sort of broke the mold in that way.
Yes. Talk about your speakers, if you can, for tomorrow.
Yeah, well, it's a very interesting panel because we have Nancy Smith, who's an archivist, in the Presidential Records Center at the National Archives and Records Administration. She spent her career there. So she comes from the archival side. Diana Carlton is a scholar who looks at this more as a historian. She's been a professor. And then Anita McBride is an administrator, and she was Laura Bush's chief of staff.
Oh.
So she understands the role, certainly in the modern era. And they came together to write this book about the First Ladies. And they started this organization dedicated to research around the First Ladies, and they've really done a lot to augment the role, or our understanding of the role of First Ladies. So it should be a really, really interesting conversation. I think our viewers will learn a lot. And by the way, it's not too late to either come in person or to sign up online.
Okay.
All you have to do is go to our website, theadamspresidentialcenter.org, and there's a live registration or a virtual registration, and it's free of charge in both cases. We'd love to have we have room on both channels, so we'd appreciate people coming to support.
Yeah, do you have any sense for how many folks have already signed up?
We have a couple hundred people who will
wow.
be there live,
okay.
and
All
then
right.
we have at least half that many, probably around 100, who have signed up for the online virtual. So we're probably sitting at about 300 people, and that's for coming out of the gates like we are, that's a pretty good. Pretty good start, but we're broadcasting as best we can nationally to try and get people to log into these things, and so hopefully we'll get some people outside of the immediate area as well.
Right, exactly. Do you have a fundraising goal in mind, Doctor, for how much you need to get started?
Well, a lot, so we can say that.
Yeah.
But I can't put a number on it just yet, because until we know, we're in the process of doing some study now that will reveal to us, what size of building do we need? Mm-hmm. How many people can we rightly anticipate in a year? You just can't overbuild something. It's very easy to do that because everybody gets enthusiastic and says, oh, we'll have all these, people come. Well, there is a science to figuring out kind of what your market share can be.
I see. Okay.
And so we're in the process of going through some of that right now. And once we understand that, it'll be a lot easier to say, well, if it's the building is, this size, it's going to cost X. If it's this size, it's going to cost, 1.5X or whatever. So we can kind of think of it in those terms. So we'll definitely, when we launch the campaign, we'll be announcing the size of it.
Okay, and I would think it would be easier to add on if needed rather than take away, right?
Yeah.
If you start off small and find that you need to
expand.
Yeah,
I mean, it depends a lot, I think, on just, when you're looking at building costs, those are hard costs.
Yes.
I mean, you just have to get what you have to get, and if it takes a little longer, it takes a little longer, whatever.
Right.
Obviously, raising money for endowment, programs aren't free either. Everything we do costs money somewhere. So until we have a museum where we can, charge admission and that kind of thing to have some revenue associated with it, for the time being, we're dependent on the philanthropy.
Will there be other Quincy 400 events from the center this year?
Yeah, we will. We have a couple of other kind of signature level talks like this programs that we're doing, and we definitely want to brand those and work in concert with Quincy 400 because we feel like we bring a lot to that effort, and we feel like they bring a lot to us as well, not just in terms of getting the word out, but for people to understand that, when we say the story starts here, it's a Quincy story.
Yeah.
In many ways, the American Revolution is rooted here in some very significant ways that have never been appreciated. Quincy has its own set of stories beyond the Revolution that are incredibly important as well. Those won't be something that we are in a position to weigh in on as much, but certainly we want to be a part of bolstering that image of the community. It's a fabulous community. We've got so many things about it that, it's the right place and the right time to do something like this. There's no question.
It's been a pleasure to talk with you about this.
Thank you.
Would you please come back?
I would love to.
Yeah,
anytime.
We'd love to have you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.